Today is Thursday, May 14th. We're talking about President Trump's push to get kids back to school and the reason a top public health expert says not to rush it. Also, prices at the grocery store are going up. We'll tell you why and by how much. Plus, take part in a COVID-19 genetic study. Create your own avatar on Facebook and go to some of America's most popular parks as they start to reopen. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview about our mental health during a pandemic. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Millions of Americans are setting aside their COVID-19 fears and venturing back out into the world. On an average day last week, the New York Times found 25 million more people left their homes than in the previous 6 weeks. The Times analyzed cell phone data and found the same results in nearly every part of the country. Of course, many people did not have a choice. Dozens of states have been lifting coronavirus-related restrictions and allowing businesses to reopen. So more Americans have been forced to decide whether to go to work and risk their health or stay home and lose their jobs. President Trump and other Trump administration officials say, we do need to look at the economy and the quality of life for people. In fact, Trump is getting more insistent that states need to reopen. He took issue with what one of his top health advisors said this week. Remember, infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci had warned about new outbreaks popping up if lockdowns were lifted too quickly and without proper measures in place. Fauci also cautioned against sending kids back to school too early, saying while COVID-19 doesn't seem to affect children as severely, we have to be careful when it comes to kids' lives, and there's a lot about this virus we still don't know. But the president pushed back, saying Fauci is not giving an acceptable answer and is trying to play all sides of the equation. Trump says the new coronavirus has had little impact on young people and the economy cannot rebound if schools are closed. So he called on governors to open them as quickly as possible. CDC data does show adults over 65 are the ones more frequently hospitalized for COVID-19, and children have been experiencing milder complications. At the same time, as Dr. Fauci mentioned, there's a lot more research needed. And here's one big example of that. New York and 14 other states are now investigating a mysterious illness in children that might be linked to COVID-19. Doctors aren't really sure yet, but here's what they do know so far. It's an inflammatory syndrome, much like Kawasaki disease, which can be deadly. There are 82 confirmed cases of this new mysterious illness in New York City alone. Of those, Mayor Bill de Blasio says 53 of the kids had tested positive for COVID-19 antibodies. So it at least seems the illness in kids might be a rare complication of COVID-19. Either way, it's important to catch this early. Symptoms include a fever, abdominal pain, a skin rash, and either a racing or slowing heartbeat. Many healthcare providers have been alerted to this, so they know what to look for. And research is underway around the world. The Wisconsin Supreme Court just overturned the state's stay-at-home order. The Democratic governor had tried to extend the order to May 26th, but the Republican-led legislature filed a lawsuit arguing it would cost too many people their jobs. Ultimately, the state's highest court ruled the order is unlawful and unenforceable. Wisconsin's governor responded, saying, "Now we have no plan, it's the Wild West." By the way, there have been legal challenges in a few other states, but so far, Wisconsin is the first state where the court completely struck down the stay-at-home order. The U.S. government is now investigating whether the Chinese government is trying to steal America's research about the new coronavirus. The FBI and Homeland Security Department are looking into potential data breaches. And the Trump administration is urging healthcare and pharmaceutical companies to tighten up their cybersecurity defenses now. They say a hack could jeopardize the future of treatments and even a vaccine. Why is this happening? Well, just like the rest of the world, China is looking to develop a vaccine. The difference, though, is that the Justice Department believes China wants to steal ideas to get ahead of other countries. In response, a Chinese state-run newspaper said the U.S. government has, quote, totally lost their minds. The Federal Reserve chairman is pushing Congress to provide more relief money or risk permanently damaging the economy. Of course, this comes after lawmakers already passed trillions of dollars in economic aid over the past few months. But the next round of relief seems to be on hold for now. The latest bills up for debate don't seem to stand a chance. In a video conference with an economic think tank, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said only Congress can put money directly in Americans' hands and into American businesses. The Fed has also helped, though, by slashing interest rates to near zero and implementing 9 emergency lending programs with the Treasury Department. So, will Powell consider dropping interest rates below zero? which, by the way, would mean lower mortgage and credit card rates for everyday Americans, but also lower returns on savings. For now, Powell says no, he's not considering that. Well, groceries are apparently getting more and more expensive. In April, food prices saw their highest month-to-month jump in more than 46 years. The Labor Department reports the price of meat, poultry, fish, and eggs went up the most by nearly 4.5%, followed by a nearly 3% hike in the price of cereal and baked goods. Even produce prices rose by 1.5%. So why is this happening? To put it simply, it has to do with supply and demand. Demand is up, since stay-at-home orders suddenly had people eating all their meals at home, so more Americans rushed to the grocery stores instead of restaurants. At the same time, producers and farmers did not have the ability to shift their food deliveries that quickly. The supply was also hurt from COVID-19 outbreaks among workers at some meat processing plants. Also, Americans were panic-buying items, so stores had to increase prices to keep more in stock. Even though groceries are getting more expensive right now, overall, consumer prices are down, mostly due to falling gas prices. We have more news ahead, but first, thanks to our sponsor this week, Netgear. We've talked about it before here on the show. Some home Wi-Fi can struggle to keep up with all the streaming, gaming, video conferencing, and homeschooling happening right now, especially when it's all at once. Sound familiar? If so, it sounds like it's time for a Wi-Fi upgrade. Bring your Wi-Fi up to speed with Orbi Wi-Fi 6 from Netgear. Wi-Fi 6 is a whole new kind of Wi-Fi. It's the latest tech that gives you the fastest speeds possible, even as you connect more and more devices throughout your home. That means you'll be able to stream without buffering, eliminate lag while gaming, and connect more devices to your Wi-Fi than ever before. It's like upgrading your Wi-Fi to first class. If you are ready for the best Wi-Fi ever, you can get it today from Netgear and never worry about Wi-Fi again. Check out Orbi Wi-Fi 6 at netgear.com/best Wi-Fi. That's Netgear, N-E-T-G-E-A-R, netgear.com/best Wi-Fi. Now, back to the news. A company known for at-home genetics testing is hoping to find out how DNA plays a role in COVID-19 symptoms. 23andMe wants to recruit up to 10,000 people who had such a severe case of COVID-19 they had to go to the hospital. The study hopes to identify genetic differences to help explain why some patients get critically ill and others don't even have symptoms. Sometimes an entire family ends up in the hospital while another family down the street can live with the virus and not know it. So scientists hope to find a specific gene that determines or strongly influences those effects. Then they could potentially be able to warn people or even come up with specific treatments for them. So if you tested positive for COVID-19 and were hospitalized for it, the DNA tests are being offered for free. By the way, Ancestry.com is also working to research genetics. It said last week more than 250,000 of its customers had already stepped up to participate. It's not clear yet how many of them had COVID-19 or how many had been hospitalized. Stay tuned for any interesting results from either one. Amazon is calling on Congress to make price gouging a federal crime, at least during national emergencies. It published an open letter to lawmakers yesterday saying too many people are trying to take advantage of the coronavirus pandemic. Apparently, a lot of people are hoarding necessities like hand sanitizer and face masks, then trying to sell them on Amazon at hiked up prices. Amazon has banned about 4,000 sellers so far and removed 500,000 listings. But the company says these people should suffer legal consequences on the federal level. Right now, the laws vary state by state, so some people aren't necessarily held accountable. TBD if Congress takes this up. To be clear, lawmakers have criticized Amazon in the past for not doing enough about price gouging, so it's at least something on their radar. Facebook is rolling out customizable avatars in the U.S. They're basically stickers that look like you with your same hairstyle, complexion, and clothing style. The avatars can then be used in comments, stories, or Facebook Messenger. Though this is not a totally new idea. People have been using avatars for a while now, using apps like Bitmoji or Apple's Memoji. To make your own in Facebook, just head to the comment composer or Messenger and tap the smiley button, then click the sticker tab and choose Create Your Avatar. Facebook is launching the feature now with a gradual rollout to users. From national parks to theme parks, things are slowly getting back to business. For example, Universal Orlando's Entertainment District will partially reopen today. The theme park resort is letting about half a dozen restaurants and a few shops open their doors. Visitors will still have to wear face masks and be checked for fevers. Anyone with a temp above 100.4 will be turned away. Disney World also plans to reopen some third-party shops and restaurants next week. Also of note, the Grand Canyon will partially reopen tomorrow, and Yellowstone will open on a limited basis on Monday, but only the south and east parts of the national park in Wyoming. The parts in Idaho and Montana will stay closed. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. And this week, we're talking about mental health. Not only is May Mental Health Awareness Month, but there are now some concerning statistics about what's happening during this pandemic. For example, a recent Kaiser Family Foundation poll found nearly half of all Americans say the pandemic is harming their mental health in some way. And crisis lines are reporting significant increases in calls. In fact, a federal emergency line saw a 1,000% increase in April compared to the same time just last year. So joining me to talk about what's happening and what we can all do about it is licensed therapist Katie Morton. She not only runs a private practice in California, but she also reaches a worldwide audience through her YouTube channel with nearly a million subscribers. And she wrote the book, Are You Okay? A Guide to Caring for Your Mental Health. So here's our conversation about mental health during a pandemic. Hi, Katie. Thanks so much for coming on The Newsworthy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So first, what's your reaction to these types of statistics that we're hearing right now?
To be honest, I'm not surprised. We're stuck in this stress response. I mean, all of us, I think, would admit, even if we didn't have a mental health issue prior to this, we're feeling a little bit more anxious, a little bit more stressed out and worried. And so it's no wonder that we're finding those rates go up. This has been going on for, I think, much longer than most of us anticipated. And not everybody knows how to cope with that.
So what are a couple of the main issues?
First of all, this is nothing we've experienced before. So I think the unknown is really, really scary for people. And the most common things that I'm hearing from my audience and patients alike are just the worry thoughts. I think we can all agree that we're worried about today, tomorrow, a year from now. And those worry thoughts, I mean, if you don't know, generalized anxiety disorder is diagnosed by the uncontrollable worry. Like no matter what we do, we just keep worrying. And I think a lot of us would admit that we're feeling that right now. And so that's probably the most common symptom, as well as my patients who tend to be more on the depressed side are struggling to have hope for the future because we don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's the main issue when it comes to this particular pandemic and this particular issue is we're learning new things every day. So we don't always feel like we have all the information needed to figure that out, to feel okay, to be able to soothe ourselves and say, you know, we're going to get through this. A lot of us worry about not being able to.
I've heard the analogy that you can push yourself during a marathon or something because you know where the end is. We don't really know where the end is with this. How much of an impact does that have?
I believe it's making it like twice as bad. Like, you know, when you're doing a workout and they're like 10 more and you're like, I could do 10 more. But if they don't say anything, you might stop early because you're like, I just can't keep doing this. And so my worry about the like not knowing when it's going to end and not knowing the future in a very dark view, I think we'll see suicide rates go up, which I know sounds terrible, but it's just a reality and something that we should be aware of. We should check in on people in our lives. But also I think it leads to increased anxiety and panic attacks, right? Because we don't have the wherewithal to say, you know, they said in 2 weeks we'll be okay. I can just hang on till then. So it's just this extended period of feeling unsure and uneasy can exacerbate all the things we've kind of been talking about.
I'm curious your take on guilt and comparison about how bad it is. I think if I'm having a bad day, I'm like, well, I still have my job, at least. I still have my health. So I feel guilty for having a bad day. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I've been feeling that too. Like, hey, I haven't lost anybody. How dare I even feel anything? That's akin to saying, you know, because there's starving kids in some other part of the world, that it's not okay for me to say I'm full and throw out that last bite or something. And I think one of my favorite quotes is, comparison is the thief of joy. And I know that that doesn't apply directly to this, like, oh, it's taking away the joy, but comparison is never helpful. Someone's always going to have it worse. That doesn't negate how you feel. Just because someone else is going through a more tough situation doesn't mean that you don't have the right to feel upset.
Are there any less obvious side effects? I know I've heard people talk about, I have less energy or I can't be productive, that sort of thing.
Yeah, concentration difficulties are huge. And that's actually one of the most overlooked symptoms of things like depression and anxiety. And I think a lot of us, because we're in this heightened stress response, our body is like primed for fight, flight, freeze. But instead of being able to do anything, right, because the the threat is an invisible virus. We feel stressed all day long, hypervigilant maybe, you know, and on edge. And so, of course, we're not able to do as much as we used to do. We maybe can't remember what we just read. And also we can be tired by like 2 p.m. every day.
Yeah. So let's talk about tips and tricks to handle some of what we're feeling right now. Can you go through a few of the main things that you're telling people right now?
The one thing that we do know is that true connection with people in our lives in person is the real antidote to that stress response that we're experiencing. And so if we can safely and selectively do that, I think we'll all feel a little bit better. If you're not able to leave right now and do that like selective engagement, the Zoom, FaceTime, phone calls, texting, that will do. It's not ideal, but it will do. And then another is just having some kind of structure to your day. It doesn't mean we have to have 25 things on our to-do list. I'm talking like two or three things. Like I get up around this time, let's say between like, I don't know, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., depending on how you are, if you're a morning person or not. And then I make myself a breakfast. I have my coffee, and then I make time during the day for some kind of movement, some exercise, having some kind of structure to it. And then I stop work at like 6 p.m., let's say. Keeping that structure will keep us kind of going and give us some kind of beginning, middle, and end to our day. So it's kind of important to keep that. And then distract when you need to. If you find yourself worrying and spiraling into the, oh my God, I don't know. And what about this? And what about my grandma? And then my friend? And you know, and you just start doing that. Trust me, I've been there too. It's completely okay to get up, to move around, to organize something. I mean, I think that's why people are making banana bread and sourdough starters. It's really just a way to distract. And there is a place and time for that too. And then the final is something that I've been kind of going through this week, I guess, is just allowing yourself to grieve. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel upset about this. The more we fight it, the more out of control those feelings can be. So I've been setting aside, this sounds really weird, but I've been setting aside like 30 minutes just to feel sad. And then I'm like, you know what? Then I'm going to get up and I'm going to distract. I'm going to pull myself out of it. I'm going to do something else. But we don't have to ignore those feelings altogether because they're there. They're real. It's palpable, right? It's everywhere. So those are just a few ways to kind of get yourself on track and keep you feeling your best.
Final takeaway for the audience or anything else you want to add?
I think my last thing is just to be kind and compassionate to yourself and others. We're all having a hard time. If someone seems a little agitated or irritable, know that it has nothing to do with you. It's all to do with this situation. So breathe, be kind. You know, I think that will go a long way and help us all kind of manage. But we'll get through this. And this is the one and only time where we are literally all in this together.
And you can check out Katie Morton's YouTube channel, podcast, and other social media. We'll link them in today's show notes. As always, you can read more about all the news stories mentioned today at thenewsworthy.com under the episodes tab. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to subscribe and share if you found this episode helpful. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday. We'll be back tomorrow with the news you need to know for Friday and the weekend. Until then, have a great day.